This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
To see if I still feel, I focus on the pain. The only thing that's real, the needle.
Focusing on the pain here on a Wednesday morning, East Tennessee, six after. Sting. This is the Blitz.
Try to kill it.
Thank you for tuning in today. FM 105.7, AM 1340. We appreciate you. Everything. We'll try not to make it too much of a funeral. But sad, sad day on Rocky Top. Excellent song to come into. I feel the pain. You feel the pain. We all feel the pain. Thank you for tuning in to the Blitz. Chance, Charlie, and GP3 in the house with you for the next couple hours right here on Fan Run Radio. As always, you can head over to fanrunradio.com. Click on the live stream tab at the top of the page. We got the Periscope going, Facebook Live, Twitter Live, if you want to see our smiling faces today. Not a lot to smile about in the room. Tennessee comes up short in Omaha. The Omaha Vols are no more. They're headed back to Tennessee today, and we will break it down over the next couple of hours. But it was a hell of a run. Hell of a run. Hey, how are you guys doing today? I'll go around the room. The attitude, the morale, it's not as bright as it was over the last couple weeks, but as always, the show must go on. Charlie, GP3, what have you?
I don't know, man. Just
it was a hell of a ride.
Sad. Just, you know, not really, I guess, angry or disappointed with the team or
why
anything
be angry?
Like that. Just sad. Well, actually, I mean, angry with other aspects of the game. But
what is it they say when you go through a relationship and you break up with somebody? Don't cry because it's over.
Smile because it happened.
It's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
Well, you know, it is kind of like a nice reflection when sports make you sad, like yesterday, or you know, when they just crush your soul or whatever else. It is kind of nice to reflect upon it and be like, it's pretty cool that, you know, there is something that like we care about sports and we love, you know, our teams this much that it's capable of making us feel this way. And you know, I guess too, every soul crushing loss, heart wrenching loss, will just make it even sweeter when you do convert one day and you do, you know, win it all.
Absolutely. You got to think about the path that got you there and the fun ride that you had. Like I said, we're not going to make this too sad today. We're going to celebrate at the same time. We're going to, you know, look at the game, talk about the loss, but at the same time, we got to look back and celebrate because you were definitely in uncharted waters. Nobody, and I mean nobody, expected this team to have this much success on the season. GP3, how you feeling today after that loss?
I'm really not doing as bad as I thought I might be. I was pretty upset in the moment yesterday, but kind of like what you were alluding to, it was a hell of a run, and you had to enjoy it while it was going on. The Wright State game, the Arkansas walk-off, just, you know, focusing back on everything that happened this season. And, I mean, I'm sad it's over, but now, like, my focus is just on keeping Vitello. So I think I'm more worried about that than anything at this point and don't have time to focus on the loss until I know what's going on with our coach.
Yeah, focus now goes to locking up one Anthony Vitello long-term and keeping him the coach of the baseball Vols and improving those stadium conditions over there for him, some renovations to keep him here for as long as possible, maybe for even a lifetime if the administration can accomplish that. But, yeah, man, it was a tough one. Tennessee falls to Texas. Final score of 8-4 in Omaha. And it had a lot of ups and downs. It had a lot of controversy. It was drama-filled, kind of what you expect for Tennessee. That's the Tennessee way. Drama-filled on the way to a loss, never easy. They can't just go out and lose. There's got to be some theatrics along the way, whether that's the Vols' fault or outside influences. But, yeah, man, it was a great ride. I think this show, we reflect on the season that was, getting to Omaha, the excitement of that. You just talked about, you know, the excitement from the regionals. Man, that was fun. Super regionals. Man, that was fun. I even think Omaha. Damn, that was fun, too. Just the whole entire fanfare leading up to it. It was not a miserable time, and I don't think we should treat it as such. Yeah, they lost. Yeah, it's over. But only eight teams go to Omaha. Only eight teams go to Omaha. Tennessee was one of those eight teams at the end of the day. 865-546-8200. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to compose ourselves. We're going to come back with a level head. We're going to break down what happened in this loss. And we're going to talk about it. That's the best thing to do. Today, let me be your therapist. Let me be your counselor. Let's talk it out, people. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to The Blitz. Rolling along here, Chuck, Charlie, and GP3 with you. Breaking down Vols, Omaha Vols. Coming up a little bit short in Omaha, losing the first two games out now. Winner go home game, losing to Texas. 8-4, the number two team in the nation versus the number three team in the nation. But hey, it was a good run. But there was a lot of controversy in this game. I guess first things first, let's go ahead and break it down, get to what we made of it. The Vols generated early offense, though. They strike first. They get the first two runs on the board. Texas does come back in the bottom of the second to get another three. It's 3-2 going into the third. A lot of things to talk about. Obviously, a lot of people questioning Tony Vitello this morning. Did he pull Blake Tidwell too early in the game after throwing just a little bit over, I think, 50 pitches, maybe? Also, the controversial call at the plate. Was he out? Was he safe? First of all, I want to know what you guys made of the game. Charlie, what was your reaction? Some of the highlights, I guess some of the lowlights. And then we'll continue on to talk about, you know, a lot of these moments that happen. We had Charlie's favorite guy who loves his hair. He gets thrown out. What's his name? Ross Kivett.
Ross Kivett, yeah.
Kivett, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was...
That was a turning point.
The umpires yesterday were pretty bad.
You think they took us out the game?
Yeah, to an extent, yeah. I mean, I don't want to be that guy because you can always reflect upon yourself and say, hey, you know, let's not leave one up in the zone in a 3-2 count where they hit a three-run homer, or, you know, let's put one into the gap when we have bases loaded. You can always find things that you could have done better. But at the same time, I don't think it's unfair to look at yesterday's result and think that, you know, some questionable umpiring changed the course of the game. It's almost undeniable, really, that it did. You look at that fourth inning that just completely took the wind out of your sails. I mean, first you get to the point where you have two outs and two strikes, and it looked like we got strike three once, if not twice. Both were called balls. At this point, the dugouts had already been warned. But that guy walks, and that extends the inning. And we could have gotten out of the inning right there with no runs given up in the fourth.
Yep.
But, yeah, so then Ross Kivett, upset, just bangs his hand on the padding of the dugout. No big deal. I mean, you know, have some thick skin, umpires. It's whatever. It's not
a
like,
little weak.
It's not like he's that upset. And it's the third base umpire that runs all the way down the third base line to throw him out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when... Ross Kivett became a Tennessee baseball legend by running out on the field and berating him with, you know, you're a great person. You're a very friendly person.
I love you.
Or at least,
you know, come over for dinner later.
It starts with those same initials, you know, friendly person, something else. I don't know.
Yeah, he really, I saw a lot of the video from that just on Twitter and stuff. He got into it. And from what I heard, you know, the guys were fired up after that. You know, it lit a fire in them in the dugout, but they just couldn't get it going after that big fourth inning that you give up. Sean Hundley, he wasn't good. He wasn't good at all.
But yeah, so I mean, you get that ejection, which good for him for getting his shots in. I mean, if they're gonna throw you out, get your money's worth, right? So
whenever I was listening to it, it said Tony Vitale's running out on the field, and like
I think he was. I mean, he was pretty upset too.
Yeah, but I thought he got thrown out when they said, "Oh, ejected. They threw somebody out." I was like, "Oh man, Tony just got thrown out." Wow.
I was watching at the bar and like couldn't hear that well, so I thought that Tony V might have been getting thrown out there too.
Yeah, I did too.
But yeah, so that happens, and then again, you know, Sean Hundley couldn't quite get that final strike, and they rip one into the gap in right center. The runner comes around from second to score, and then the other one tries to go first to home, and there's the play at the plate that I'm sure everyone here has seen and knows about at this point, and everyone listening, where, yeah, I mean, Connor Pavlone right there, as a catcher.
Is it a bad tag?
Yeah, as a catcher, you know, you need to drop down, and you need to tag at the feet. Always tag at the feet. That's one of the first things they teach you. Because, you know, if you're tagging at the legs at the feet, that's what's going to get to the base first. Or, I mean, obviously if they're, you know, sliding head first and you tag at the arms and hands or whatever, because if you're tagging at the upper part of the body, then those feet are going to get in ahead of the tag. So he did, you know, have a pretty high tag. He didn't do that great. He was technically kind of unsound there, but still he blocked the plate and he did enough where he was out. And there is definitive video evidence that he was out. The umpire at home obviously calls him safe, and then after a review, they don't overturn it, which was also just surprising.
Yeah, you had the announcers even, you know, flat out saying that before the announcement was made. It's like, oh yeah, he's out. This angle right here, this still frame, clearly shows the tag on the leg, and his foot is nowhere near the plate. And then they announced that he's safe, and they were just in awe that call was made.
Yeah, what's the point of having a video replay when you can't get it right? So that was the turning point for the Vols, turning point for the Longhorns.
Right,
they captured the lead there, take a lead of 7-4, and then
that put them up 6-4. Play at the plate, but then yeah, that would have been the third out. So another time where you thought you had the third out and it wasn't awarded to you. The first time it gave you know, two runs scored, and then after this, where again you think you have the third out, instead you don't, and they score another two runs and go up 8-4. And really, you should have gotten out of that inning at 4-4 or 5-4 at the worst. That just changed the game. Tennessee from there goes 1-2-3 in the top of the fifth.
Yeah, and that's when you kind of felt like it's over. When, you know, they're kind of riled up. Like I said, they're riled up from their coach getting ejected. They're riled up from the bad call, and you're like, "Hey, top of the order's coming up. These guys are gonna do something right here." You got a feeling. The back's against the wall. They got a chip on their shoulder. Nobody wants to see them advance. The umps are against them, and then they go 1-2-3, and for the remainder of the game, only are able to get three more hits.
Well, for me, the umpiring was pretty bad, but as a team, having bad umpiring can sometimes motivate you to want to overcome that. What I felt was the most demoralizing part of yesterday's game was the bases loaded with no outs, and Drew Gilbert hit into the double play, the shot right at the third baseman. And when he first hit it, I thought they were going to have him shifted one way or another. I thought that was going to be a double down the line. But, I mean, it was an Adam ball right at the third baseman.
Yeah, he went 5-2-3.
And I thought that was the moment where we just knew, like, things weren't going our way.
Yeah, and I heard some people the other day talking about it. I think it was on Drive. They were talking about later in the afternoon, like, oh, when was the last time you see a 5-2-3 double play? Like, you see it often when it's a hard hit shot like that, and you're and I mean, you're gonna go home first, and third base is gonna go home, and then catcher's gonna go to first, and you're gonna, you know, get out the inning, try to not let allow the team score any runs. And it was just bang bang. I mean, it's the Longhorns couldn't have asked for a harder shot and be in a more perfect position for them to get out of that inning and to really kill a rally.
And then in the fourth inning, or the inning right after, when we score the two runs to tie it back up, and then we have two on, only one out, and Fergie grounds into that ridiculous double play that the second baseman made for Texas. It's just their defense, I feel like, propelled them early. Texas, that is.
Defensively, yeah. Defensively, Texas is just is so defensively sound. I mean, they're a lengthy, athletic team, and you know, they really have some quick hands too, especially in that middle infield. But that was such an impressive turn, that double play you're referencing, and just the fact that he made it look so easy too was impressive.
Yeah, Tennessee grounded into, let's see, I mean, double plays right here.
Would have been a 4-6-3 if that's what you're.
I was trying to see how many they grounded into in the entire game. Oh,
I think it was three, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's three. They don't have it. They just have Texas listed right here in the box score. But left on base, once again, you left six on base. That's a total of 14 in Omaha that were left on base that you couldn't get home. It was the story of the season all year. That was one of their downfalls, one of their deficiencies, getting runners in scoring position and not able to knock them around. Do we give any criticism to Tony Vitello for pulling Blade Tidwell?
Yeah, I would, you know, have
way
some...
too early, only after three innings.
Well, I think pulling him might have been the right decision, but going to Hundley, I think, was the wrong decision. After what you saw against Virginia, I think you just needed to go to a different arm. But I think it was pretty obvious that Tidwell just he didn't have his stuff that day or yesterday.
I mean, Tidwell had given up a couple walks, but he wasn't missing by a lot. You know, his walks were still competitive pitches. And then really the only hit, I mean, the only big hit he gave up was that home run.
Was the one that he left up in the zone.
And he just left that up against the plate, and a mistake happens. You know, some you just hope that usually...
Leave him out there, let him gain some confidence.
Yeah, you just hope that when pitchers make that mistake, they foul it off, or, you know, they're not on it and something along those lines, or line out somewhere. And unfortunately, that mistake was sent into the bleachers in right field. But, I mean, he had given up two hits at the time. You know, I think especially just where you were, too, in the context of the bracket and being in the loser's bracket, I mean, I wouldn't have gone to a different pitcher that early. Because, I mean, if you would have pulled yesterday out, going away from Blade Tidwell that early kind of hurts you the rest of the way also. But also, I agree. I mean, even if you are going to pull him, like, that wasn't the biggest issue. The biggest issue was going to Hundley for me, too. Not because he had a bad outing at Virginia, because, I mean, that happens. It doesn't necessarily mean that's why he wasn't good yesterday. You know, he is your guy, and one bad outing shouldn't make you distrust him in those high-leverage spots. But I just think the fourth was too early for him. I don't think, you know, that was the spot he was necessarily that comfortable early in the game. I mean, I know he's done it before and been a long reliever, but I don't know. I would have gone to somebody like Camden Soule.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I felt like we didn't see enough of Camden Soule in Omaha. I felt like maybe he had a nice little run towards the end of the regions. I thought he was hot too. I thought he might be an arm that you see more of, but I agree. I think that you did pull Blade Tidwell too early. And of course, Tony Vitello is going to know and forget more baseball than I'm ever going to know in my lifetime. But I just think you pulled him too early. That's just my opinion. I think you kind of let him sit out there. As Charlie said, you kind of let him gain a little confidence, let him get settled in, and maybe, you know, that's just one coach that, you know, I left up, you know, my bad, but I'm focused back in now, and he's able to come back out and, you know, go through the lineup much better in the bottom half of the next inning. But it happened. 8-4, the Vols go down. We'll take a quick timeout. Come back, let's talk about the historic run that got us there, all the highlights of the season. What's next for Tennessee baseball and Anthony Vitello? This is Fan Run Radio, and this is The Blitz. Yeah. Damn right, bro. 4 a.m. Welcome back to the Blitz. Live here on Fan Run Radio. Hey, it's also, if you like apps, we got an app. Go ahead and go download the Fan Run Radio app in app stores everywhere. Take us wherever you may go, and you can never be without all of the local action starting at 7 a.m. with three and out all the way up until 8 p.m. with overtime. Local from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Let's go and get back to the action. We're going to talk about the historic run that Tennessee had, the season, what was, and next up for Anthony Vitello and the Vols. We do have some breaking news on the Tennessee basketball side, but we're going to hold it off, tease you a little bit. You got to stay tuned for that, but you're going to love to hear that. Great news for Tennessee basketball coming up here in just a moment. But, man, it was a historic season. The 2021 season that was statistically one of the best in program history. It was just the third time in program history that the Vols reached 50 wins. The only other two times came in 1994 and 1995. For the first time since 95, Tennessee was able to win the SEC East. And it was the fifth time that the baseball Vols had made it to Omaha for the College World Series. Other times before that, 1951, 1995, 2001, and 2005. And Tennessee's 20 SEC wins were the most since 1995. So a hell of a season. I think we have to continue to talk about the positives so we don't get downtrodden on all of the negative things. I mean, yeah, came up short, man. But honestly, I think we're all riding the wave of, you know, the success from regionals, super regionals, you know, the SEC tournament play, and also the SEC conference play all season. But when we look back at it, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. Tennessee wasn't the best team in the country. We still think, I mean, Charlie said the other day, he still thinks Arkansas is the best team in the country, and they didn't even make it to Omaha. There were much better teams than Tennessee this season. But, man, they had the grit. They had the swagger. They had the mentality. That starts at the top with Tony Vitello. 16 road wins. The most in program history. They won five SEC road series for the first time ever in history. And ranked for the entire season. And one time as high as number two in the polls. 98 home runs on the year. It wasn't a boring year. A lot of offense. Who's your daddy? That came about. The daddy hat. That's the second most home runs in program history, followed by 107 in 1998. And the Vols were great with their backs against the wall. Six extra inning victories on the season, and that is the most in program history with seven walk-off wins. So as much as we hated the outcome, man, it was a hell of a ride. What did you guys think about the season? What are some of the series that you're going to look back on outside of the Wright State Grand Slam? I mean, everybody, that was the highlight of the damn year. That might be the highlight of the season for the next five seasons. That was amazing, the walk-off Grand Slam against Wright State. But what are some of the other highlights of the year for you? We'll start off you, GP3.
Yeah, for me, it's LSU, the first LSU series. I feel like that's when a lot of people actually started to jump on board and realize that we had something cooking with this team. And then to hit walk-offs and back-to-back games on the same day, because you had to do the doubleheader after the rain delay. And people forget, too, in that first game, I think we were down going into the ninth inning, maybe, and we tied it up and then walked it off in extras. And that game picked back up, I think, in the eighth inning when we restarted it the next day. So, yeah, for me, it's the LSU series. I feel like that's when we really got the ball rolling. And we knew what this team was about, that they had a never-say-die attitude.
Yeah, it just wouldn't go away like that pesky fly in the summertime. Just will not go away. I would say the same thing. For me, it's the never-say-die attitude, the swagger that they brought. I mean, this team played with a chip on their shoulder all season long, whether it was that they didn't feel respected, whether it was sometimes the calls weren't going their way, not respected in the polls, not getting a lot of national attention. They just always played like you know, like the villain almost. Like, you know, you hate us, we hate you too. But we're going to go out, we're going to kick your ass at the same time.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely the heels of the college baseball world this year.
I loved it. I love this team. I love the coaching staff. I hope that Tennessee can find a way to lock Tony Vitello up. We know all the rumors swirling about LSU. But then there's a lot of rumors also that Tennessee today is not today, but the rumors, more rumors coming out today that they are going to make him the highest paid baseball coach in all of the land. We'll get to that too. But Charlie, what are some of the things that you're going to take away from this season when you look back on it?
You know, I just think it, my takeaways, I guess, from the season, the things that I'll really look back upon is that, you know, hopefully this is the year that you look back at and you look, and this is the year that we pivoted towards becoming a legitimate baseball program.
This is the catalyst.
This is what sparked it. We got our fan base completely energized this year. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that can carry over. You know, it can carry over in other sports too. But, you know, I just look at the guys like Chad Dallas and what he did this year, Blade Tidwell coming on, and some of their better starts. I look at that Vandy series where, I mean, in this town, it felt like an SEC football Saturday, you know, all 3 days of the week, and you get that Evan Russell grand slam, that three-home run game.
He did it twice this year, too.
Yeah. You know, I look at that Arkansas series and the walk-off home run on Saturday, and you know, even the SEC championship, just being there was awesome, even though you don't really, you know, I mean, obviously you didn't win, but there's so much good from this season. This season is such a success to me, even though it ended in such a disappointing way. You know, I'm not really a moral victories guy, but this proved, you know, this is solid evidence, solid proof of what Tony Vitello's building. And it's starting to come to fruition. I mean, it shows that you're even ahead of schedule. And it's something that, you know, you can build upon and can propel you forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to be upset about getting knocked out of Omaha. You look at a team like Arkansas with as good as they've been recently, and they still haven't won it all. They did have a chance to. I don't know if you've seen that play before where it was game two of the finals and there was a foul ball. And I think it was like their second baseman and right fielder just miscommunicated and dropped it, and that would have won them the World Series. But like you look at a team like that, and as good as they are, they still haven't won it. This was our first trip under this new coaching staff, and you know, if everything goes according to plan, we'll be back plenty of times and have more shots at it.
Yeah, Tony Vitello was asked in his post-game presser. Let's go and get some of his comments. What is he going to remember the most about being around these kids? Quote, and then as far as what I would remember with these guys, that's a tough thing to point out. One deal, other than as a coach, you're always trying to learn. And I learned a ton from the group on just how to get things done, how to act, and how to respond in certain situations. So, and then he said, and then, you know, there's a meme for all the people that don't like us, can't see any tears yet, but was locked up in the condo for a long time. Man, a long time. And then we had to watch these guys hit BP. And he got around them for a whole year, and it was a pleasure cruise. So he really had a lot of comforting things to say for his ball club. He was pretty sad, man. He was teary-eyed in that presser afterwards. He was even asked about LSU. I know a lot of fans are hearing the rumors that are swirling about LSU and them hopefully reaching out to Coach Vitello to try and elude him to leave Rocky Top for Baton Rouge. But he's asked, have you had any communication with LSU regarding the vacant coaching position? And do you expect to be the head coach at Tennessee next season? Vitello went on to say, no, I've not had zero. And I just made an idiot out of myself, at least for all the masculine folks watching, by getting teary-eyed about these kids. That's where my focus has been. Like I said, the social life hasn't been existent for quite some time, well before our opening day game. Part of that is I want to do as good of a job for the school that gave me a chance. And I want to do as good of a job for a group that we thought could go pretty far. He ended it by saying, in the way the season evolved, like I said, the emotion's certainly not fake. I don't know if it's embarrassing or not, but it's coming from a place that's my number one concern is these guys. And I'll go back to the room, and anyone who knows me, it will be bad how much I critique myself, and it hurts. So I'm certainly not going to waste energy before game or any other game having regrets that my mind wasn't right or we weren't prepared the right way to go in whatever game it might be. So he said he hadn't had any contact, but he really didn't give you anything about does he expect to be the head coach of Tennessee next season. He's pretty emotional after the game and tore him. Like I say, these guys are going to beat themselves up over this for a long time. These seniors, a guy like Pete Durkay, who now goes down for the Vols, the most game played in baseball Vols history. Tony V is going to critique himself over and over. He's a fiery guy, man. And you can tell he cares about those kids out there on that field. He cares about his fans. I mean, one of the first things he said in his presser is thank you to UT Vol fans. I mean, he created a wave. I mean, there's a lot of people who were going out to watch Tennessee baseball, but they've created something, as Charlie said. Hopefully you can look back on this season and you can think this was the foundation. This was the building blocks for Tennessee becoming a powerhouse in all of college baseball. This was the catalyst for Tennessee becoming a national championship contender. This is what got the ball rolling for Tennessee to bring in some outstanding elite talent. This was the moment, the 2021 season, that puts you in the ranks with the Arkansas, the Vanderbilts, the Floridas every year, where they're scared of you now too, the Texas, you know, also South Carolina, Ole Miss. Now you have put everyone on watch, and you are one of the elite. Hopefully the 2021 season proves as such for Tennessee baseball, and this is only the beginning. Because, damn, it was a hell of a ride, and this is the only beginning. Sign me up. Inject it into my veins. Tennessee baseball had a hell of a year, guys. They had a hell of a year. Keep our heads high. Everyone, all the listeners, keep your heads high. This is only the beginning. We can feel it. Lock Tony Vitello up. Make him the highest paid coach if you have to. I don't know if he is the best coach in college baseball. He definitely has moments where he looks like he's the best with his talent. He can recruit very well. The emotion that he shows out there, kind of his passion for the game. But we know there's better coaches out there. There have been. The coaches that have won multiple national championships have won a national championship, and the consistency that they've had in the SEC or nationally, there are better coaches. But he might go down as one of the best if Tennessee's able to lock him up and keep him here for a long time and create and continue the success that the 2021 season was. We'll come back on the other side. We'll go ahead and give you that Vols basketball breaking news right here on the Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Wednesday morning, Charlie, Chance, and GP3. Man, breaking news that we did have. Unfortunately, the tweet's deleted, so we'll heed this with caution. But the Southeastern Conference had tweeted out a graphic that our one GP3 ran across. It looks like Tennessee and the Big 12 SEC Classic, I guess.
Challenge.
Will be facing none other than the Texas Longhorns in Austin.
You just can't get away from them.
Can't get away from them. Rick Barnes gets to go back to the house that Rick Barnes built and face off against new coach Chris Beard. Unless this gets changed, it's no longer on their official Twitter page, but
I don't know what.
Maybe somebody leaked it and wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, maybe it was too early. But
it was too early.
January 29th, 2022. The graphic at least has Baylor at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Great game.
That will be a great game.
West Virginia at Arkansas. Great game. Oklahoma at Auburn. Should be really fun.
Pretty damn good game.
Oklahoma State at Florida. Kentucky at Kansas, which finally someone else is. Yeah.
No.
LSU.
They play all the time, though.
They do, and other stuff. LSU at TCU.
Okay.
Kansas State at Ole Miss.
Strong-ass offer.
Mississippi State at Texas Tech. The weirdest of them all, I feel like. And then Missouri at Iowa State.
Huh. Interesting. And then we said...
Tennessee, Texas, man.
Tennessee, Texas.
Horns down, baby.
Horns down. How would you guys feel about Rick Barnes getting to travel back to Austin playing this new Texas squad led by Chris Beard? That'd be a fun game.
Oh, I'm excited for it already.
I mean, that'd be a fun game. Me too. I think I'm excited for a lot of the other matchups that Charlie just alluded to as well. Alabama and who'd you say there? Baylor?
Yeah.
Alabama taking on the national champs and strong.
West Virginia, Arkansas, that'll be a good one too.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to get the primetime nightcap out of those games.
I would say
good matchups there.
Likely to be Alabama-Baylor.
Yeah.
Or Kentucky-Kansas, simply because it's Kentucky-Kansas.
I guess it would depend on if we get the Kentucky of last year
mm-hmm.
or the Kentucky everybody.
No, there's no way they're as bad as last year. There's no way.
Hey, we can still hold out hope.
We can hold out hope, but I think we all know that Calipari's a pretty good recruiter, pretty decent coach that you can't keep a good man down.
They got a couple big-time transfers in, too, I think.
Yeah, they did. They did get some big-time transfers.
They did just miss out on the number one point guard in the country yesterday, though.
Yeah, he went to Oregon.
Dior.
Yeah. Okay.
They've missed out on a couple of big recruits this offseason, both in via the transfer portal and just straight up that is kind of out of character for Kentucky. You know, they normally get those guys. Wonder if maybe
is Cal losing his mojo?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, baseball's over. Let's start getting that conversation going. Cal's losing his mojo.
He's losing the luster. Hey, we got a couple minutes here. We might even go over on the hard out. Let's go ahead and get to Charlie, and let's go ahead and do that hockey real fast.
We're about to do that hockey.
We're about to do that hockey, baby. Hit the music.
Let's do that hockey. Last night in Las Vegas, it's hot out there. And the Canadians are even hotter.
They are.
Me and GP3 were all over it. I was pissed.
I did call it.
I had a parlay with the Suns and the Canadians, and then my app crashed, and I didn't realize it, so the bet didn't go through. And lo and behold, the Canadians, they go crazy to start this game. I mean, Kota Kanemi scores the opening goal in the first period, and then Staal and Cofield each add another goal of their own, one via the power play in the second period, and Montreal at this point is dominating Las Vegas. It is 3-0. They're controlling the flow of the game, the pace of the game. They're the more aggressive team. Physically, they were better. They were better in the neutral zone. And Vegas just didn't have it. The Golden Knights took it to them. Pacioretty did score one in the third to bring it to a 3-1 game. And then Nick Suzuki buried one about 15 minutes later just to cap off the 4-1 victory. Man, they're going to mess around and go to the Stanley Cup. They're now up 3-2 in the series, heading back to Montreal for Game 6. It's really unbelievable. I mean, it would be like, I don't know, I mean, this would be like if maybe the Grizzlies made a run and went.
Yeah.
To the
they beat the
NBA,
Jazz.
Yeah. If they went to the NBA Finals, I think that would be the rough equivalent, probably.
I guess a good hockey equivalent is when Nashville did it in 2017. They were the last seed getting in, swept the number one seed to start everything off, and just carried that momentum through.
And it was interesting. You know, we talked about what was Vegas going to do in net. They had obviously started Leonard and won on the road, and then they went back to Marc-Andre Fleury last night. Didn't go well, but
who do we have tonight on the ice?
Tonight on the ice, you have Game 6 back up in New York. The Lightning and the Islanders, 8 p.m. NBC Sports Network. Tampa Bay leads that series 3-2. The Islanders have done a great job protecting home ice, so should be a pretty good one. Tampa Bay money line is -150.
All right, you heard it there from Charlie, our hockey expert. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two, we're going to get to some NBA action. Also, get into the crazy MLB fiasco last night with pitchers and sticky substances and pulling down their pants. This is the Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio.